Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near.
Do not be anxious about anything.
But in every situation, by prayer,
by petition,
and with thanksgiving,
present your requests to God.
And the peace of God,
which transcends all understanding,
will guard your hearts and your minds
in Christ Jesus.
Thanks to the youth group at Gusam who produced the third reading of our scripture. There's an old story about a pastor who was invited to the Sunday school for a lesson. So he asked, "What must one do to be forgiven?" And one of the students raised his hands and said, "First of all, you have to sin." Christmas, Advent, is about the coming Savior. That means there is a reason why we need a Savior, isn't it? Because of our world, which is in need of salvation, healing, forgiveness, love, compassion, hope. Because the poor people don't have any good news. Because prisons are filled with people who are being warehoused. Because the burdened and the battered are bound in our society. Because people say God doesn't care and doesn't exist. In Luke 4, Jesus announced, "The time is here for God to act." Because the world has sinned, you will be forgiven. So Jesus comes with healing in his arm, in his wings, we say. And how long, how deep is our longing for that healing? The governor of Connecticut, Daniel P. Malloy, when he visited Newtown, said it best, I think. He said, "Evil visited this community today." And perhaps this description will fit not only Newtown, but every town around the world. Our Advent candles has brought us patience, readiness, and today, faith. And the third Sunday of Advent usually is the Sunday for joy, when we begin to anticipate the joy that is ahead of us. Yet on this third Sunday of Advent, appears a character in the Bible who probably is the most un-Christmas of them all, John the Baptist. Who would invite John the Baptist to Christmas party, right? But here he is every third Sunday of Advent. Most often we think of John the Baptist as signifying this angry God who is ready to throw us into hell for misbehaving. Yet, perhaps John isn't such a bad opening act for Jesus, because after all, even in our secular Christmas, Santa Claus has some standards too, you know, for giving gifts. We actually sing John the Baptist's song very happily because it's entitled "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." Now, I'm no Bing Crosby, but I want to invite you to sing with me. "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." Can we have a few notes of that? Ready, go. "You better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or So John the Baptist, Bing Crosby are saying, God is checking the list. So what will God find at the top of the list? Jesus said, you must become a child if you expect to enter the kingdom of God. So for God, at the top of the list is whether we adults have made our world fit for our children so they can be happy, they can be healthy, safe, to reach their potential. Because they are the closest to God, as far as we can tell. This week, God will have seen very clearly the fruits of our violence. 20 children whose lives were stolen right before our eyes. Because we adults have done such a poor job of providing a world where they would be safe to become all that God meant for them to be. Not only these 20 and the 6 adults who were there to protect them, but 72 million children around the world don't even have a school to go to because they are working to support their families. Over 120 million boys and girls between ages of 5 and 17 are engaged in what we call hazardous work, dangerous and dirty work. In addition, 1 out of 4 children under age of 5, that's nearly 150 million children, suffer from chronic or acute malnutrition. 1 child dies every 6 seconds because of malnutrition and illnesses that arise from that. So if God were checking the list, he would be crying. He would be weeping because we adults have failed to organize our world to lessen the suffering of the children around the world. So John the Baptist will continue to come back on 3rd Sunday of Advent, and Bing Crosby will have to continue to sing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, because the children, they continue to suffer among us. God has never been without his messengers to remind us of these things, to warn us that we will reap what we sow, plant the seeds of distrust, hatred, neglect, and we will reap the fruits of violence, plant the seeds of peace and understanding, and we will reap the fruits of peace, justice, and love. This Christmas, I'm sure most of us will see at least one version of Charles Dickinson's A Christmas Carol. There are at least 20 versions of them, including even cartoon versions. The Muppets version actually is very good. When Charles Dickens was 12 years old, his father was thrown in jail, the debtor's jail, because his father, John, owed a baker 40 shillings, 40 pounds and 10 shillings. Something like $5,000 in today's money. So his father was sent as a debtor. And in those days, if you're a debtor, you were thrown in the debtor's jail and you had to work from there, you had to live there. Oftentimes, you took your family with you into the jail. So his mother and his 3 siblings were sent and lived there with their dad at Marshalsea, this prison in the middle of the Thames River in London. Charles was sent to Mrs. Roylands, where he had to walk 5 miles every day to work at a blacking factory, where he wrapped bottles of shoe polish for 6 shillings a week to pay for his stay. Although his father was released 3 months later, Charles Dickens kept working to support the family. But this experience seemed to have really stuck in him. They say that he became depressed often because of that, but on the other hand, He gained a heart for the poor, for those who were mistreated, especially for children who are caught in such circumstances. So when he turned 31 in 1843, he was touring the Cornish tin mines, and he saw how children were working in these horrible conditions, where they were taken out of school but had to work in conditions that he found horrible. He also visited the schools for poor children in London, and he just found them unacceptable. He said, "We can't be treating our children like this, especially because they are poor." He also read a report from the Parliament about the Children's Employment Commission. It was a second report. So he talked to one of the commissioners and said, "You know, I would like to write a manifesto about this problem in our country." But then the Holy Spirit took hold of him. And instead of a political manifesto, Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol. And he wrote to the commissioner, "You will certainly feel that a sledgehammer has come down with 20 times the force, 20,000 times the force I could exert by following out my first plan to write a manifesto." Who among us hasn't been touched by the story of A Christmas Carol? We know Scrooge, but we often forget that Charles Dickens wrote this for the children. And he would have us watch this and remember the children, all the Tiny Tims of the world who, not only in this country, but around the world, would face a bright future and say, "God bless us, everyone." What shall we do this week? After hearing from John the Baptist and Bing Crosby and Charles Dickens, and what has happened at Newtown. First, we must speak out about the suffering of the children. And we must, as people of God, think and reflect how we will best remake our society and ourselves so that our children can be safe, not only here but around the world. How we can relieve their suffering so that these children, whom God says will enter the kingdom of God, can experience something of the love and the kindness of the world as they're living among us. God says business as usual is unacceptable. We weep for these 20, but every year 3,000 children are killed by gunshot in this country. 30,000 people are killed by gunshot in this country every year. Japan, which has only as a third of our nation's population, 120 million, every year they have only 2 deaths by gun. Of all ages, only 2. We must do better as people of God because God loves the children. Secondly, in the Philippians reading, it is suggested that we must be thankful and that the fruit of thanksgiving will bring us peace. Do you want a different kind of society? Then we must practice kindness and compassion, appreciation, and thanksgiving. How often have you thanked those who serve us, those who care for us? Do we want a different kind of family? How often have we thanked and appreciated those closest to us rather than taking them for granted? How have we thanked those who love us unconditionally, sacrifice for us? when we plant a seed of acceptance and understanding and humility, we will reap the fruits of peace and justice. Do you want a church that is right with God? A different kind of a church? Then we can do our best by appreciating those around us, loving them unconditionally, thanking those who serve us without fanfare, those who open themselves up to us, sharing their life with us, praying for us, even without us knowing, appreciating those who do things who, without us acknowledging them. When we plant the seeds of humility and kindness, we will reap the fruits of compassion. I'm now going to tell you one of my favorite stories, and I'm sure the pastors have told this to you before, but you can bear it once more. There was a monastery up in the mountains that had seen its heyday, and now the monks had become old, and there were only a few left. Of course, even their money had run down, so the place was also run down. The abbot of the monastery used to come down the mountain to the valley to meet with a rabbi in town, and they would look at the scriptures together, and they would pray together and do what clergy usually do. One day, the rabbi looked at him straight in the eye, and he said, "Abbot, God showed me a vision last night, and he said, one of you up there in the monastery is the Messiah." And he just said it like matter-of-factly. Well, as the abbot climbed up the mountain, he thought, well, who would it be? Would it be Brother Bob? He was the smart of the bunch. God would need some smarts if he's going to become the Messiah. Then he thought about Brother Conrad. He was the strongest. You need someone to be active and make change. Brother Douglas was the quietest, the prayer warrior. You need someone like that to be the Messiah. Of course, Brother Edmund was a talker, and you need a preacher to be the Messiah. So in his mind, he played each person who could be the best Messiah. So that night, at the evening prayer, the abbot shared what the rabbi had told him in the morning. And just as he had done, all of the other brothers around the table began to think, look around and just think, is he the one? Is he the one? And then finally it dawned on each of them, am I the one? But from that day, something began to happen in the monastery. Each brother saw himself in a new light. Each brother treated each other differently. There was a different twinkle, a different smile, different kinds of words came out of their mouth. Their behavior changed. Their thoughts changed. Their actions changed. And soon, people down in the valley began to notice that. And pretty soon, young people and children began to climb the mountain to be in the monastery, to be with these who had been changed. What if each of us are the child of God? What if we are the sons and daughters of God? And we claim that this morning. I claim that for each of you. You are here because God considers you special. And you have a mission to share their love, share their compassion, to plant that seed and let it bloom in your lives. The situation of our children, not only at home but around the world, demands that of us, John the Baptist and Bing Crosby and Charles Dickens, would demand that of us that we now get ready for a new world that is coming. May the same spirit that was in Jesus be with us this week, that we too may see the world in a new light, and we too may see ourselves as God sees us, and that we may love and appreciate those around us, especially during this time. May God bless us, everyone. Amen.